that'd be preferable. There are these little things to kind of clean up on there. So hopefully that can work out for you. And if you have any questions on the justification, I think Jay's probably laid that out for you. I think we're looking for something fairly simple but concrete that the review criteria has been specifically addressed.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I'll just note that Raquel sent me a chat message that there are bookmarks in their submittal that then go straight to the submittal letters for the vacation justifications. We'll look in the submittal again and look for that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and the submittal was extremely large. A lot of that was you were identifying all of your public notice that you had engaged in, and we appreciate all that. But it did make it hard to find things within that. Okay. Then we're going to go to item number 8, which is the same parcels that we were just talking about, but this time PR 2021-5629, application SI 2021-1483 is for the site plan. And this is for Kenneth Falcon at University Boulevard with agent Bean Decker Parrish Sabatini. And we've already introduced that we are doing these together, so everyone's still sworn in. And let's go ahead and see if you want to give any overview, Mr. Gleason, on the site plan in addition to what you've already done.
Madam Chair, this is Will Gleason. I believe that what I've provided before is all that is needed for orientation.
Okay. And just to make sure I'm covering all the bases, is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item 8, which is the site plan for the north portion of the Netflix campus? Please raise your hand or indicate now. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone, so let's return to Water Authority for comments on the site plan.
Madam Chair, Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. On the site plan, a lot of the same things apply as the plat, and then throw in the, I think, known comment about not sharing sewer across the multiple parcels. That's really the only issue we have on site plan north. So I think we need a resolution on that, and then we'll be good to go. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Carter? Thank you. And code enforcement, and I think some of your earlier comments probably relate even more so to the site plan, Mr. Maestas, but go ahead.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Charles Maestas with code enforcement. And we've already discussed the referrals to commenting agencies with the plat, which would still apply here separately or in addition to a couple of things noted. Just if we could see indicated distance or measurement from structures to lot lines, just ensuring compliance with the required setbacks. There's an item that I want to discuss with concerning parking, but I'm going to come to that at the end. This next comment is specifically related to bicycle parking. Bicycle parking to comply with IDO section 55E. The indicated bicycle parking is not meeting the requirement, but either an adjustment can be made or a requested reduction can be reviewed and approved by the planning director. Well, there's already been a discussion about the alternative landscape plan process. And so for us, main thing would be that we see the approved alternative landscape plans stamped and approved. Now, the walls that were indicated, I know that there was indication of these, the 10-foot walls. It's a PC zone. There is nothing that says that you can or can't have a 10-foot wall, but within the Mesa del Sol Level B master plan, there are specifics concerning the design and the articulation intervals. And it looked like the design seemed to be good. The articulation intervals indicated in the Level B master plan, I believe, were different than what was indicated on the submittal. Let's see. Also, site lighting shall meet the requirements of the Level B master plan. And specifically, in the master plan, the amended plan that I reviewed in pages 93 through 98 indicate the lighting that's allowed, and also the fact that it does require approval by the Architectural Review Committee for Mesa del Sol. And so that would require the providing of that approval of the lighting plan requirements as listed. Let's see, also there's quite a few different, there's the three different structures on this particular site plan. One of them being considered the production office. And within this, I know there was potentially that need to indicate which design requirements are going to be provided or met. Looking at the renderings that Mr. Gleason provided, they certainly did give a lot of indication of what's going to be there. Looking at the elevation drawings was kind of hard to pick that up. So the main thing would be maybe just having some notes indicating which of the building design requirements are being met or provided for within the proposed elevation drawings. And going back to the parking, for this particular site, the parking table indicator, the parking calculations indicated 229 parking spaces that were going to be provided for on, I believe, the adjacent east site plan. This was specific to the 369 required parking spaces for the production office, and wanted to just kind of bring this out or ask the question as to whether or not, because we're talking about different platted parcels of land here, is there a need specifically for a shared parking agreement if we're going to have parkings on an adjacent site for the specific use on this site plan?
Madam Chair, Board Member Maestas, this is Will Gleason. We can provide a cross access parking agreement if needed. We are looking at the campus as a whole in terms of parking. We wanted to get away from designating parking for each building. We do feel like there's plenty of parking, but we want to keep it flexible in terms of where that parking is used on any given production. So if we need to provide that cross-access parking agreement, we can do that. Can I just go back on some of your other comments here?
Mr. Gleason, yes. I just kind of want to knock this parking question around and get it finished.
Okay.
Ms. Wolfenberger, do you have any advice on this?
This is Jean with transportation. I would recommend taking care of the cross access issue as part of the plat involving the shared parking.
Shared
That's
typically
parking how it's done in this type of situation. That would make it a whole lot easier if that's okay with code enforcement.
This is Charles Meisner with code enforcement. And I guess the concern would be that with there being the different platted parcels, if there was ever a desire to sell off the parcel containing this, I get it. It's all part of a larger site plan and a larger campus, that the parking is going to be able to be met because it's a large building, multi-story with a lot of parking requirement. And so is there going to be an opportunity, or how will parking be met in the future if for some reason there was some kind of a modification to the site to take and split this off, sell it, do anything different with it, and now you end up with a void or a lack of parking for the use on the land?
This is Maggie Gould. So Ms. Wolfenberger, Mr. Maestas, my understanding of the shared parking agreement is the shared parking agreement basically ties all of the lots to that parking listed on the site plan. I want to confirm that that's correct. And so if that's the case, then even if they were to sell off a parcel, that parcel would still be tied to the parking requirement listed on the site plan.
Okay, thank you. I think that covers it well enough for today. Let's go back to Mr. Gleason and where you wanted to go next.
Sure, and just one follow-up comment. When I'm looking at the table here, there is enough parking provided for all three buildings on site plan north. So I'm a little curious as to why we would even need a cross access agreement. We have enough parking on this site, given the three buildings that are included here. You can see it's 593 provided, 480 required.
So this is Charles Myasis with Code Enforcement. And what I was seeing was the note below where you've got the production office with the asterisks there. And below it's where it's indicating that 229 of those parking spots for the production office are provided at location adjacent to Mill 1 and 2 at Package East. So if you even said, and this is what I wanted to clarify, you're saying parking provided of 402, but if you did 402 minus the 229, I mean, are we saying that the 229 spaces are part of that 402?
And I would ask if, you know what, let me go back to the team and clarify that question. So.
That sounds good. Mr. Biazar?
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar, city engineer. Can we just add a note on the plat for shared parking or cross parking access easement? And I think that will cover the, as long as each lot will meet its own parking requirement on the site plan, I think we could probably do a note on the plat regarding the shared parking access.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gleason, I think you wanted to ask some questions beyond this parking question.
Yes,
Mr. Maestas.
And just a clarification, I just got a message that really there's only two parking spaces that are needed to meet the requirement that are not on site plan north. So maybe we can go back and clarify that note and figure out how to add two spaces so that we don't need to get into the particulars of a cross-access agreement. So I did want to go back to the issue of the wall and the height of the wall. You're correct, Mr. Maestas. There is no dimension in the Masonry Soil Level B. And we are showing 50-foot sections of wall. Level B says 30 feet. There's some internal sort of standards that Mesa del Sol has used that allow 50 feet. So I'm trying to figure out how to, and given the length of this wall, I don't think that 50 feet is an unnecessary. It works with the scale of the overall site. So I'd like to figure out how to allow that in the site plan. But I'd suggest that we will come back to you when we come back next time with more detail on the wall and show you some actual how that design of the wall would be implemented. And I think that will help to inform that discussion. And as far as you're asking for, show me how we all these buildings have met the Mesa del Sol design standards. I just want to remind everyone that, you know, the Mesa del Sol Architectural Review Committee did review the submittal and went through those criteria and then sent a letter that accompanied this package to the city. So I'm just like a little clarification in terms of part of this review process is that the Mesa del Sol ARC has already done that work. So do we need to duplicate that work in justifying it to the DRB? And that goes for both the site and the building design standards.
So this is Chair Wolfley and Mr. Gleason. I think that those are two different requirements. One is asking that you write, you know, often this is part of your project letter to write how you're meeting the design requirements and so that staff can review that. And then we also on a parallel track want to see that the art committee, when there is one in existence, has approved and approved per their own jurisdiction and understanding and requirements of the building design. So we don't, we still have a staff, a responsibility to the planning documents that's independently ours to review. And then the art committee has their own review of whatever there it is that they have within that private association to review. In this case, there might be a lot of overlap, but we still have the responsibility as staff to see how the applicant is meeting those requirements. And we'd like you to lay that out for us.
Madam Chair, this is Will Gleason. I hear what you're saying. And just a point of clarification, if we do go through those specific building standards, would it be better in a revised letter or in notes on the site plan itself?
Ms. Gould, can you help answer that question?
This is Maggie Gould. So, Madam Chair, I think it's easier to do it in a comment response letter because I think listing all of the requirements on the site plan gets a little bit too busy. And that's generally, we generally do the letter.
Thank you.
Okay, and my recollection from looking through those last week is I don't think it's too onerous. There are, you know, there's not a long, long list of things. Okay, let's go now, if we could continue with Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. I just had a question with the site plan requests regarding whether or not there is a master plant palette for Mesa del Sol. I tried to review the level B and didn't see one. So I was just curious if maybe that could be given to the Parks Department for our reference and for our records.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Gleason, do you wanna just identify which document that's in?
Madam Chair, this is Will Gleason. I believe that there is a plan palette that was in the original level A master plan and in the appendices to that.
Okay, thank you. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has no further comments.
And transportation.
Jane Wolfenbarger with transportation. I did give comments before on the site plan. The only thing I just wanted to note additionally is on the parking calculations. I didn't see the handicap spot calculations.
Okay, let's go ahead to planning comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Regarding the site plan comments, you need to demonstrate that all EPC conditions from SI 2021-00975 are being met. Just an FYI, you'll need to address the all the Mesa del Sol master plan requirements and we're silent IDO DPM requirements. We had a comment about the walls and I want to make sure that we're on the same page as code enforcement here. If the MDS plan does not specifically permit 10-foot walls in this location, we had a comment that a variance from the zoning hearing examiner will be required for the proposed wall height. Charles, I'd like to get your input on this because I want to make sure that we're giving the right information here.
All right. This is Charles Mises with Code Enforcement. And the reason that I didn't comment on something of that nature or that effect would be that being that this property is zoned PC, planned community, there are no wall height regulations spelled out in the IDO concerning a PC zone designation.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the level B master plan, it just has design requirements when a wall exceeds 4 feet in height. Outside of that, we don't have anything telling us what the limits are for a PC zone.
Okay.
This is Will Gleason. I would just add that the original site plan was approved with up to a 14-foot wall. And then currently around the existing studio, there is a 10-foot wall. So we think that's good precedent for this design.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Maggie, Madam Chair, do we want to rescind that comment that we have in our memo about, needing to go to the ZHE
This is Chair Wolfley. I think we've just heard the information from Code and Mr. Gleason that shows that there is no requirement for a conditional use for the 10-foot wall on this site plan.
All right, this is Jay Rodenbeck. Thank you for the confirmation. We had an FYI that the alternative landscape plan has been submitted and associated with the site plan, which we've all talked about, and will need to be administratively reviewed and approved. We attached standards for drainage basin treatments for the stability of the drainage basins. Madam Chair, you mentioned that there are that you're getting updated I don't know if it's standards, but I don't know if you want to talk about that or if these are temporary basins on the site. Do we want to go over that or just go past?
This is Chair Wolfley. I'd like to provide more information.
Okay.
In new comments on that. So, okay.
Okay. For the production office building here, which I am pointing out with my mouse, per 5.2D of the IDO, the site and building design considerations form must be completed as well as the sun and shade analysis. The form was attached to our comment memo to you for your reference and completion. The mill building and the production services building are considered industrial, and the stated analyses are not required for those two buildings. The analysis is only required for the production office building for this northern development. And Madam Chair, you can jump in here as well if you want to go over very briefly, go over those requirements. Do you want to go over those?
Sure. This is Chair Wolfley. And Mr. Gleason, are you aware of this new evaluation? Oh, thanks for bringing that up,
Chair. Yeah, I got it ready.
Madam Chair, we are aware of it now. So we will get that filled out.
Okay. It's fun because the S in DPS is part of how this was created. Mr. Bill Sabatini was a very great volunteer participant. And what I understand is difficult is this was effective August 1st. I would imagine you've been designing well before August 1st on your site and your building. And so, we can accommodate this. Once again, this is an evaluation. It is meant to help inform people of how they can create a site design that, number one, is more energy efficient and will reduce the operating costs of cooling and heating the buildings over their life cycle. It also is intended to improve occupant wellness and the enjoyment for occupants inside buildings because matters of glare and natural light and other things are addressed, as well as using landscaping to help mitigate some of those sun effects. And obviously this is one of our main things in Albuquerque. And then finally, at the very end, it talks about trying to capture views of our major topographic features, which are the sandias, the bosque, and the volcanic escarpment. So if you have done your design, which I would imagine you would have in SketchUp or Reddit or something like this, the sunshade analysis, which is tied to item one of those guidelines, hopefully would be fairly simple to do. And you can get back to me if for some reason that's a major obstacle. And I don't know how much anything would change at this point, but I think these guidelines are meant to just sort of be another kind of wake-up call of how this building will need to be heated and cooled over its life cycle. And if there's anything still changeable at this point, that you would consider it. And so once again, it's the evaluation and the sign-off of the evaluation that are required. And please just get back to me if there's any problems, because I'm trying to help people who may kind of be straddling this new implementation thing. But I don't think you'll have issues with this, and it actually could enlighten a few decisions perhaps still.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Rodenbeck.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. So regarding remaining comments, code enforcement already went over the KFB referral and the lighting comments. You'll need to get the solid waste signature on the site plan prior to final sign off from planning. Regarding facades, they must meet the building design standards for employment center and highway commercial districts in the NDS plan. That's 225 of the plan. Please provide a letter, explain how these requirements are being met. Please provide approval from the Mesa Del Sol Architectural Review Board for the final building facades. We might already have that in our submittal, but if not, we need to have that. We had a question about the signage as well. Does the proposed site plan include new and additional building or freestanding signage?
Madam Chair, board member Rodenbeck, yes, we will provide additional information on signage. We're working on the wayfinding right now. So we will submit supplemental information regarding the signage.
All right, thank you. And I just have two more comments here, and one's a question. Provide a calculation for electric vehicle parking when there's more than 200 off-street parking spaces being constructed. At least 2% of those parking spaces shall include electrical vehicle charging stations. And our final comment is, will project construction have a phasing plan? That's a question, actually. Will project construction have a phasing plan?
Madam Chair, Board Member Rodenbeck, the phasing is really site plan north and then site plan east. I'm not sure how much detail you want in terms of phasing, but all the construction is anticipated to be completed, I believe, by the last quarter of 2023, I believe, or soon there. So in other words, the phasing is all to be constructed in the next 2 years. Is that...
Well, this is Jay Rodenbeck. It sounds like it's not going to be phased. There's just, you have the two separate applications, the two separate platting and site plan applications. And that's what you're referring to as a phasing. But the individual site plans are not phased.
Correct. And I believe Mr. Velasquez has something to add to that.
Okay.
Mike Velasquez with Bohannon Houston. Yeah, the reasoning behind the separating them was again related to the Level B amendment.
Yep.
And so the intent though is for everything to be built at once. And our hope would be that, in the event that the Level B amendment continues to hold up the east, that the contractor can in fact get building permits associated with the buildings in the north.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rodenbeck. And, I know those were a lot of items, but I think that they're all real, hopefully real doable. And some of the big stuff has already been done. So, okay, let's look at a deferral date for this site plan. Did you have something in mind, Mr. Gleason?
Madam Chair, this is Will Gleason. I would propose a 2-week deferral. I don't know, Mr. Blaskowitz, if you have anything to add to that.
This is Mike Blaskowitz with Bohannon Houston. I don't. That sounds good.
Okay. So then on October, Ms. Gould.
Sorry. I was just going to point out that we do not meet on the 13th. So it would either need to be a 1-week deferral or a 3-week deferral.
Oh, I keep thinking 2 weeks is October 6th, but okay. So we DRB doesn't meet on October 13th. I know we have the level B plan coming back and this plat coming back on the 6th.
Madam Chair, I think I don't think we can get it all done in a week. I would suggest a 3-week deferral.
Okay. So October 20th for the site plan. All right. Yes. And they can be, all this can be on different dates. Okay. Is there a motion to defer item 8 to October 20th?
Lane Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Kelsey Merkel, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Termijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 8, PR 2021-5629, site plan SI 2021-1483 to October 20th.